Tomorrow is episode number 100 of In the Loop. They have made it, and in celebration, they're giving you Texans tickets every single hour on tomorrow's show. 10:35, 11:35, 12:35, and 1:35 for a chance to win Texans Jaguars tickets for the final regular season game in December. That is tomorrow on the 35s with our friends on In the Loop. By the way, I disagree with something that Fred and John, well, especially Fred, throughout their Monday, we'll discuss in the meltdown at 9:30 this morning.
Wouldn't that also make that mean that we're at 100 shows? Why aren't we getting giveaways?
Well, here's the thing, though. Now, Landry, contrary to my prior belief, counts only the shows where all three of them are on the show. So I don't know if we have the exact
same. So we're over 100 at this point.
We might be over 100, yes.
I can't imagine any of us take as many vacation days as Lopez.
Possible.
He doesn't actually take that many vacations.
Lopez. I don't know. I feel like I've taken the most vacation days thus far. Every single time that I've been here, both of you have been here, but I've taken
have,
several
yes.
Fridays off.
That's
yeah,
okay.
I don't take, I'm like, Mike Florio hasn't taken a day off. Not even vacation day. Mike Florio says he hasn't taken a day off since
that.
2004.
I heard that on part of my
2004
take. I'm surprised. 2001.
When I hear those when I hear the stories of Florio, of if you ever read a deep dive into the way Adam Schefter lives, I don't know how these guys do it. Honestly, I do this show and I go to grad school part time.
No.
I don't get it.
But by your standards, though, too, like you have to remember, like I don't think you've taken a day off. It's. Do you realize how
I went to Russia?
Do you realize how hard it is to take a day off in when you work in sports? Because you generally also enjoy watching sports.
True.
Anything you're consuming, you're reading on your off days and everything. You're never taking a day off. And like for like a sports journalist to say it like it's some kind of humble brag or something. Like okay, did you have to read and write about sports? Oh my gosh, I can't believe it's like you and the West Virginia coal miners are no different. Nobody takes a day off. It's just some people choose to say that they're taking a day off for even though they're still actually working.
I find ways to on Saturdays get as little sports as possible,
yeah.
But during football season that is not possible.
It's a little harder with all the college football. Charlie Morton, by the way, was the pitcher who had the gum situation allegedly last year.
No,
late
it wasn't.
The
there was no alleged about it. It was like he was rubbing his hand on the glove, and that was like, or rubbing his hand on the gum.
Alleged. Just
yeah, no, I mean he was doing that in plain sight. It was whether there should be an issue with it or not, whether that's allowed. And it's funny because it was like, no, unless it's like some special pine tar gum, and I'd love to see somebody chew that.
would not taste good.
It'd be nicer to rub a piece of gum against my hand than my actual tongue. Not to mention, you know, after
that's
it's
fair.
Probably more germ friendly.
Time now for the five big questions on a Tuesday morning.
Numero uno.
What do you have more confidence in? Dallas Keuchel pitching well today or Charlie Morton pitching deep into game four?
Charlie Morton game four. Not even close.
Not even close.
Boy, I think if Charlie Morton feels fine in the first inning, then he'll pitch deep into the game. I don't think I'm worried about his endurance or anything like this. I just worry about whether he's healthy completely. The cold's not going to be an issue down here like it was up there. And I think I feel more confident in that. My confidence level on both of these things is not all that high, but I'll choose B.
I'm going to go with Keuchel pitching well today, barely, because I think there's more of a chance. Morton is a guy who you really want to avoid the third time through the lineup, especially the third time through this kind of lineup with the Red Sox have, especially at the top. And Keuchel has not been good at all against the Red Sox, which to me is one of maybe the main story going into today's game. But he did pitch pretty well in Game 3 against the Indians. It's at home where, you know, it's a friendly situation for him. But that, to me, is the main story going
smaller
today.
ballpark, though, than Progressive Field. And they
True.
Were, the Indians were driving the ball off of Keuchel in that
yeah.
game. It wasn't just the traditional ground ball outs that we hope to see on a quality outing out of Dallas Keuchel. I haven't felt good about Keuchel all year, and this is the first time where I think it really is going to impact the future of the Stros this year.
Numero dos.
Sean and I were talking about this off the air during the pregame show on Sunday for Texans-Bills. On Saturday during game one, Reddick hit a home run, Yuli hit the three-run homer, they teched on, I think, another run, and so they blew the game open in the ninth inning. If they hadn't done that, Roberto Osuna would have been on the mound with a one-run lead in the ninth at Fenway Park. Roberto Osuna is better than Ken Giles. Of this, there is no question, but we have not seen Osuna in the crucible. Now, he did come in. He did come in with a tight lead in Game 2 against the Indians, struck out Lindor, did a nice job. But that, with a 1-0 lead, is different in the series than what he would have faced at Fenway Park with a one-run lead. How much do you guys trust Roberto Osuna in a really, really big spot?
Not as much as Colin McHugh.
Really? Not as much. I feel like
McHugh,
really
McHugh right now with what
he pitched
I,
well once.
Yeah, I know. I feel really good
well,
about
once
McHugh.
Once in the playoffs, Mike, versus like what he's done
against
over
the
Red entire
Sox, man.
Season.
And he's had a great like, season in the bullpen. Yeah.
But it all because it comes down to how are you going to use McHugh and when are you talking about using him? I think like for what I trust McHugh a lot for the fashion they've used him in terms of
right,
bringing,
two or three innings, right
the or just and bringing him in the ninth inning. I trust Osuna, like and without seeing it with my own eyes to have to believe it and want it. Like they traded for him for a reason and they endured all the public condemnation for a reason. And I think that, and not to mention the fact that he's fresh as a daisy.
He is fresh. Let me backtrack. McHugh was obviously great in the game three win against the Indians when he struck out a million guys. So I'll be fair about that. I was more referring to September where he had some issues.
Ryan Pressly as well. I like more than Osuna. That's not a shot against Osuna, by the way. I feel Osuna is going to be solid if called upon, but I think right now the Astros' best two bullpen guys are McHugh and Pressly.
Well, Pressly to me is clearly the top. That's the guy who in a big spot I trust the most. My confidence level in Giles in a big spot was like a 3 or 4 out of 10. With Osuna,
that's pretty high.
With Osuna, I'm at like a 7 or a 7.5, where I'm relatively confident, but there is the possibility.
Número 3.
I thought it was Deshaun's worst game of the year. Maybe you guys disagree. His pocket presence is getting concerning. His ball security. I'm amazed. I mean, I guess give some credit to their defense during this stretch for finding a way to win. And look, the Cowboys, you know, have a third win. The Bills already have two wins. It's not like they're beating terrible teams. It's just, it's mind-boggling how they've won these last three games. I mean, starting with Frank Reich giving them a win that really should have been a tie, as we all know.
Russ Tucker earlier on the show, he's on Tuesday's Weekly on the show. Well, I agree with him that Sunday was Deshaun's worst game this year. What was more concerning, his lack of pocket presence or his lack of ball security?
Okay, they're interrelated, I suppose, because I think this is the difference, too, and this is what's interesting, is that I think Deshaun had more pocket presence as a pure rookie than he does right now, and it's a combination of factors that's led to this, one of which is that I think he's still... I don't think he's completely 100% feeling the same way he did before his ACL, and which is natural. It takes... You can come back and play in less than a year. You're not the same guy until 18 months. But there's also the residual effect of all those hits and what it does to your sense of timing. He's now in this point where he's kind of damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. If he flees the pocket, then why are you fleeing the pocket? If he stays in the pocket. Like, the fumble yesterday in the second quarter, this is where Kendall Lamb gets beat by his guy. Kendall Lamb lays face down, motionless on the turf as the quarterback is getting hit. If Kendall Lamb had just tried to get up, he actually would have disrupted Kyle Williams, who was coming in over the top of Kendall Lamb's prostrate body and hit the ball out. Like, that is in no way Deshaun Watson's fault. He get hit by two guys at the top of his drop because Kendall Lamb got his ass whipped, and then Kendall Lamb quit on the play. Like, Kendall Lamb, who makes a routine of quitting on plays. Last year, in his first start, he quit on a play and watched his man tackle Deshaun Watson. He's not just a bad offensive lineman. He's a voyeur. He's a voyeur. He likes being a damn quarterback sadist. I almost think he's intentionally losing these battles so we can watch Deshaun Watson get physically harmed. It's disgusting. He lay on that call. So this is what happens. He lays on the turf, motionless. I'm like, oh my God, is it a spinal? He's laying there motionless on the turf. Kyle Williams leaps over him, knocks the ball out. The ball, a mere meter away from him, is bouncing around on the ground. Kyle Lamb is sitting there.
Kendall
Lamb is there face down with his head turned to the side.
He's sad.
Like he's flying like Superman or something, watching the ball bounce around while other actual football players scramble for it. Why? I'm calling you out, Bill O'Brien, Mike Devlin. Why are you allowing this? Why are you allowing people to quit in the middle of football plays? It's unacceptable.
We need you to talk with Wade Smith about this on Friday
at
9. Because Wade Smith was complimentary of Kendall Lamb's play over the
last week.
So I'd like to hear back.
Well, he was complimentary go after the Cowboys game. He wasn't complimentary of this specific game.
No, I understand that. He thought Lamb is actually improving as a player.
These guys got to stop quitting after they get beat. I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
And Wade has said the same thing. We've had these conversations. Honestly, on the air, off the air, they kind of get mixed up by this point in the season. But Wade's talked about how he's frustrated that when these guys get beat, it's like, oh, they're beat. And nobody's like scrambling back to actually do anything.
Wait, hang on. I didn't answer the
question.
Sorry. Yeah, we got plenty of time here.
As far as Deshaun Watson is, all right, he's injured right now. So that's part of it. He did not seem like he wanted to run anywhere on Sunday. And the other thing is as well, this is not me making excuses. Bills front seven is really good. The Bills pass rush is really good. He did not have a lot of space. He did not have a lot of room to go. Like, if he was going to get out of the pocket, it was basically, all right, it's going to be a daring escape because the pocket was essentially collapsing around him and smushing him like a garbage compactor in Star Wars A New Hope. Like, that was what he was dealing with. I'm not making excuses. He wasn't good, and he definitely regressed from the Colts game to the Cowboys game to the Texans, the Bills game. Things
have
gotten
worse. A New Hope?
Star Wars: New Hope. That's episode four. That's the first one.
That's Star Wars. That's not Star Wars: A New Hope.
It is Star Wars: A New Hope. Yes.
Is that the name of the book?
It's the name of the movie. That's Star Wars Episode Four: A New Hope.
No. I saw that in 1979. It was called Star Wars.
Cool. It's called Star Wars Episode Four: A New Hope. Old man. It is now called.
Wow. Did they do a remake of it or something?
No. They titled it when they thought that they were going to make the prequels in the 90s. They titled it A New Hope Episode Four.
What, Jonesy? Why is this? What's
he? You're both right.
We're both right? Okay. I had like a new hope.
Yeah.
You know what I did also? I went back and I watched Star Wars with like the original episode 4, 5, and 6 with my daughter, and they've added like all these CGI special effects to it and everything.
George Lucas.
You don't like it?
Yeah, and yet they leave that stupid snow monster in Empire Strikes Back like the same.
Oh, you didn't like the snow monster? Because they put that in, I think, because Mark Hamill got in a car accident, a horrible car accident, and they wanted to find a way to, at the beginning of the movie, to not have a jarring difference from what he looked like in the first episode to the second episode.
Oh, so they showed why he's starved. Okay.
Because he's all wrapped up at first.
That doesn't explain the animatronic snow monster, but okay.
The animatronic snow monster was amazing.
You just wanted to throw in that nugget that you knew about that episode.
Damn right. I'm a nerd.
Number four.
Tomorrow, the Rockets play the Pelicans in the first game of the regular season. Is there any buzz going into this season for the Rockets?
Of course there is. It's just that the people are distracted right now. Look, Mike, did you not hear me talk about the James Harden bobblehead? Of course.
It's a good bobblehead.
The first 3,000 people are going to get that James Harden bobblehead. It's a badass bobblehead.
But the Rockets cannot be thrilled. They're going up against game four of the ALCS tomorrow night. That's a rough spot.
It's the NBA.
I'd love to hear them complain about it.
I don't think it's fair to ask this question about any NBA team in October. That's the rule of the NBA.
Actually,
even the good teams, you're not really getting into it until Christmas.
I think that's a fair answer, because when I was thinking about composing this question, I think it's a good thing for the NBA that they're starting the season earlier, but I think the tough thing from a sports fan standpoint is I don't think people are in basketball mode at all right now. I mean, I see it on NBA Twitter and Rockets Twitter, but people right now are focused on the baseball playoffs, the NFL, college football. I don't think anybody's really thinking a lot right now, the casual sports fan, about basketball.
I'm Ted Brown. Why are the Astros playing the same day that we are? It's opening day of the NBA. I'm Ted Brown.
I think there is a little bit of buzz about the Rockets because of the struggles of the Texans. I think that right now there are a lot of people that would like to see another really good team in town. The Rockets are really good. What that matters for the postseason, who knows? But they are very, very good.
The only thing about the Rockets is that they've become now the team where, hey, look, you didn't like this guy before and you found reasons to hate him, and there's something just quite kind of like unhuggable about him. But just like with Dwight Howard, come on and embrace Carmelo Anthony. Come on, he's a good guy. It'll be fun. Believe me, come on.
I actually think Carmelo's not a bad guy.
What's that?
I don't think he's a bad guy.
Did I say he's a bad guy? I said he's unhuggable. He's unlovable.
Seth, he's a good guy.
Nobody wants to embrace Carmelo Anthony. And yet, just like with Dwight Howard, give it time. You'll start to see the better aspects of him. You'll fall in love. It's like an arranged marriage.
I went to Syracuse, and I'm not a Carmelo Anthony fan.
I'm a fan
he's
of the Carmelo Anthony
guy.
Center.
He's lazy.
I found refuge in the Carmelo Anthony Center once while I was watching a high school volleyball tournament.
Did you like it?
I did. Yeah, it's nice. I walked around and everything.
It's a nice place.
It was cold out. I needed a break from all the volleyball people.
Fair.
Yeah.
Number 5.
Usually during a series, once you get into, you start to hate people. Last year, like Jock Peterson's face and different elements of the Dodgers. Do you guys hate anybody on the Red Sox yet?
David Price. David Price, he's the reason I don't root for them anymore. One of the many reasons, actually, that I don't root for them anymore. I hate David Price. He's a weasel. He's being paid $30 million a year. He got a standing ovation after lasting 4 2/3 innings against the Astros and allowing 4 runs. His ERA increased afterwards. He sucks. He is terrible. And he's vastly overpaid, and he's going to whine about this treatment afterwards. He sucks. I hate him.
I don't know how I feel about Mookie Betts almost, other than that he makes me more uncomfortable than anything, because I can't help but notice how good-looking he is. And then I started like, why do I keep noticing how good-looking Mookie Betts is? What's too much introspection going on while Mookie Betts is working his way around the diamond?
Apparently he's one of those guys who's talented at everything.
Oh,
that's
really?
What Jeff Passan
yeah.
wrote. And yeah. so people and so he's like so talented at all these different things that it can bother you.
Yeah, no, so I find myself, I mean, that spot. It's like, oh, you think you're so special? Screw you. I hate you. Here's my number.
Here are my takes so far. I don't like being opposed, rooting for a team that's against Alex Cora, because his aggressiveness, given that my interests are aligned against his, now his style rubs me the wrong way. And something about Rafael Devers bothers me. So those are my two, Cora and Devers.
He's one of those
so
hefty fellows that's annoyingly good at sports. I don't like that Xander Bogaerts' first name is Xander. And I also I also hate Blake Swihart, who randomly the Red Sox think is a decent catcher.
I don't I wish I knew more about the Alex Cora v. Jeff Blum incident. Like, I wish I knew.
I know.
I wish
yes.
I knew more, and I wish that Alex Cora was at fault there. So when those guys got into some kind of an argument on the bus last season, I wish I knew that was somehow Alex Cora's fault, because then it would give me fuel for disliking him.
It probably is.
As of right now, I feel like he's almost like he's like an Astros disciple that's out there spreading the gospel about the Astros and their ways.